Welcome to 43rd and Woodland, the intersection where family and science forge together. I'm Jared Hunter, class of 2016.
And I'm Sean Ahern, class of 2019, and we're your hosts. Excited to bring you another episode for your personal and professional development.
Today on 43rd and Woodland, we sit down with Dr. John Gans, who is the former CEO of the American Pharmacists Association, president of the American Society of Health Systems Pharmacists, and dean of the School of Pharmacy at the University of the Sciences, which are just a few of the many accolades that he's received over his remarkable career.
Dr. Gans is a trailblazer in the world of pharmacy, and we're excited to have him on the podcast to learn the skills, life lessons, and advice he's picked up along his way, proving that your career is more than just the science you earn in school.
Dr. Gans, welcome.
Good to be here, and I graduated in 1966.
There you go.
Valid.
We weren't going to throw the year in, but he did it for us.
Yeah, just a few years before me, but
right.
It's fine.
Not too many. So yeah, thank you so much again for joining us. And so just to kick it off, I'd love to ask, you know, just tell us a little bit about your time as a student at USciences and kind of, you know, what your career path was, you know, after you graduated.
PCP was a wonderful place to learn with some great people who cared about your development as an individual, as a citizen. We had great seasoned professors, and we all knew what we were going to be. We were either going to be a Lilly rep, a Park Davis rep, or a community pharmacist. Didn't know much about a hospital, and most hospital practice was what we called floor stock, bottles of meds put up on the floors, no involvement at all with what was going on with the patient. And so, when you came out of school, you know, you didn't have a lot of choice. Not like what you have today with the incredible choices within pharmacy. But it was a great place to go. It didn't have much. All we had, if you guys can imagine this on this call, we had Grethol. We had the basketball courts over in Clark Park. And where you can go over and get housed by the locals. And because they were really good. And then you had Klein Hall, which was a dorm. Women's dorm, and that was it. And during my time there as a student, they opened up Whitaker Hall. They opened up the science building right next to it. They opened up the library. We had a great president in Arthur also. But it was a great place to learn, to grow up, and to get focused on what you wanted to do within your profession. But we had some great teachers, really formidable teachers who had a lot of PhDs come out of our class, and it was great. And it was fun for me because when I went on to APHA, I would run into people on the road. And that was really great to reconnect. And but what was even more funny was reconnecting with former students who didn't remember what I taught, but they remembered I used to have in the fall, we had a picnic in our place here in Brigantine for PharmD students. And then in the spring, we would have a picnic for the entire class that was moving on to clerkship.
That's a great point, Dr. Gans, and you bring up the excellent teachers that you had during your time, and I can strongly say, and Jared probably can agree as well, the great teachers that we had during our time there as well. So yeah, great job that the university has kept that up and kept that strong. Mm-hmm. But with those great teachers, I know that you've received great mentors, and picking up to that time where you started with your first job, did you know where you were planning on going based on the mentors that you had and what you're getting yourself into?
No, I really didn't. My father never really got an education. My mother did. She got through high school. Smart lady. And they eventually opened their own plumbing and heating business that still exists today, and it's coming up on its 100th anniversary, which is hard to believe.
Wow.
And my two brothers, the youngest and the oldest, took over running that. But what he taught us was know your job, your career really, really well. Okay. Make it part of your life. Be engaged. He saw plumbers as being professional, professionals. And, I learned early on that you really needed to have, grit. So in that first position that I went out, it was in community pharmacy. I mean, I hadn't thought about jobs in Lilly. I was glad I was out and I graduated and learned some leadership skills and ran the student council in those days in government And I got friendly with a lot of faculty. I could talk to people. I wasn't intimidated by who they were or what they were. And it was good. I learned some skills there. But I was really good as an intern. And I basically ran a pharmacy. And a guy met me who was the licensed pharmacist. I was still an intern. And I guess he liked what he saw. And so I learned that people are always looking for talent. And whatever's before you, as a new person starting your career or someone out there existing, always remember that people are looking for talent. And you need to engage in whatever you're doing to the fullest. And you want to be the first guy in and the last guy to leave, or leave when they turn the lights out in the community pharmacy. And they get to know who you are, what you are, and that you have game. And all of a sudden, I know, I get an offer to interview with Penn, and it was this guy I worked with, I guess, for one day. And I went down and interviewed, and they decided, they offered me a job, staff pharmacist, and then they offered me a residency position became open. Nobody knew what residencies were. I didn't know. But when I told my mother I stopped making $18,000 a year and was going to make two, and I was going to need a little help with my car payments, because for the first time in my life, I had a car. And I wasn't driving a plumbing truck. So, you know, but I think it was really that engagement, doing whatever's put before you to the fullest. And that separates you, and you learn, and people watch what you're doing. And I think those were the two things. And I'm in a residency, and I don't know what residency was. They said it'll teach you 6 years of what goes on in a hospital with medications in 1 year. I said, well, okay. I didn't have any bills. And so I did it. And my boss said to me, I will let you go up and make rounds. Dollar rounds. And I went up, and it was like I was in France, and they were speaking a different language. We weren't trained in pathophysiology. We had no clinical experience, none of that stuff. We didn't have any physical assessment skills, nada. But these physicians at Jefferson, where I did some rotations, and at Penn, were so good and so kind to bring me along. And then I had an opportunity. They had this thing called parenteral nutrition, and they figured out how to deliver it. High concentrations of glucose and some amino acid stuff, protein hydrolysate at the time. But when you mix them, they would go from straw color to Coca-Cola color, and they didn't know what was going on. And they asked me if I could find out, and some of the professors at PCP showed me what was going on and how to fix it. And all of a sudden, I was part of the research team in dogs. And I began to realize that, hey, man, you know where you are? You got game. These guys are listening to you. And all of a sudden, began to realize, and there were no books to read on this, but I realized that I could work effectively with Ivy League physicians. So it was quite an eye-opener and really made a difference. And so that was sort of like what I learned from those early career days. And I finished up the residency and went on to publish some papers. I figured out how important parenteral nutrition was because people actually starved to death because you couldn't get them enough calories and enough amino acids and protein. And they would starve to death. And that was, you could do D10W, 10%, but you couldn't deliver because you didn't have pumps. You didn't have the ability to get into the heart to dilute things. And they had developed all of that. So it was quite an experience to be basically involved with. And every day I would go on rounds with the chief of medicine at Penn and the assistant chief of medicine at Penn. These men were icons in medicine. I didn't know that. You know, I'm just Dr. Relman and Dr. Fear. And I learned a lot. And they taught us. And the early PharmD students, they would teach them. They would put them right in medical school classes. It was quite a gift, because PCP had nada. It was science and, you know, chemistry. And then, so what happened was I was getting ready to take a job, and the old dean that had let me back into pharmacy school called me up and told me that I owed him, and he wanted me to come and change the curriculum. So over a short period of time of about 20 years, we completely redid education and we became the number one pharmacy school in the country, not by faculty vote or a lot of other garbage, by practicing pharmacist vote. And I felt very good about that. And we were really different, and it was because of Jefferson and Penn physicians who stepped up. So it was it's a long story, but it was a real opportunity. And so that's what I learned over the first 20 years, and the opportunity to give back to PCP was very, very rewarding, for me at least, and I learned so much.
Yeah, that's absolutely incredible, and, you know, thank you for sharing that as well. You know, an incredible lesson to really think about. And I'm wondering, you know, all of this stuff that happens in your early career and, you know, what led up to you kind of stepping into this role at U Sciences. What was that transition like, you know, to go from, you know, you used to be a student, you've got some experience now in the real world, you're coming back to U Sciences to help implement new curriculum. And, you know, what was that transition like from going from student to faculty and then even faculty to dean?
Well, I think it was, I kept saying to myself, what in the hell are you doing here? Never in your wildest imaginations. Here you are at the first school of pharmacy in the country, and you're making a lot of change. And the students bought into it right away. They saw what the opportunities were, what the openings were. And our doctor of pharmacy students were incredible. They went all over the world and did all kinds of stuff. And, we had the pick of the litter because we were a private school, not a state school, so you didn't have all of these barriers. Mm-hmm. They could just come in. And they were licensed so they could work and make good money. So they were able to handle the tuitions and all that kind of stuff. But I kept saying to myself, what are you doing here? This is not what you were placed on earth to do. But again, getting back to the basic philosophy of the Gans family, you just dig in. What's before you, you do. Mm-hmm. And you just do it to the best degree, and you always want to be in the top 20%, and you want it to be about what they notice about you, not what you say about them. Mm-hmm. And become real, and you know, you just sort of outworked everybody, and then, you know, there were the political games and stuff like that, and faculty, and they always roll, you just roll over them, and because they don't have, they just have their discipline. I was dealing with pharmacy and medication use, and I learned from these physicians that the world of pharmacy was going to explode with new medicines. Mm-hmm. And someone was going to have to make these medicines work. It's given to a patient. They don't know what they're doing. They're confused. We weren't even able to put the name of the drug on the bottle. That was against the ethical code. Our hands were so tied. It was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. That was great. It was a lot of fun. And then, they fired my boss, the dean, and the new president was there, and he was kind of I didn't know who he was or whatever, and he set the new course where we were going to become a university and we were going to develop all these other areas. At that point, the things were going to change dramatically. We were developing relationships, formal relationships with Jefferson, with Penn, all their affiliates, to build, because I could see the law firm becoming, and I knew that we didn't have a hospital, you know, clinical facilities. And at that point, somewhere along the line there, I got the idea that we needed a poison center. So I worked with some people from McNeil and from Glaxo, and we were able to put up a poison center in a double wide trailer in the driveway for the ER for children's. Mm-hmm. And that's moved, but the poison center is still there. And, so it was kind of interesting, but that wasn't the kind of thing that the university or PCP did. I'll keep it with PCP. I don't know what they do now. Yeah. But PCP didn't see itself as a healthcare deliverer. And I always felt they were sort of insecure. And here was this wonderful thing we stood up. It didn't cost PCP nothing. Nothing. And they could have taken a bow for this, but they didn't want to. They didn't want any part of it. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was strange. And I think that's changed now. When you get the university status, you've got to be a citizen and you've got to be able to do some things for the people of the greater Delaware Valley. But it was interesting. It was interesting. Yeah. But making a transition then to dean Oh man, I didn't want to be dean, but it was very short-lived. And I didn't see myself as a faculty member. Never. I was much more interested in practice and expanding healthcare and improving medication use. That's what my life's been about. And I thought I had done pretty much all that I could do, and this new guy came in and was going to make life miserable. But I thought next thing would be to go out there and find something where you can change practice. And I was offered a vice presidency at GlaxoSmithKline, I think, in those days. And I was offered a job at APHA. And that was a hard move because we had moved from here, Brigantine, to Philly. And we had settled in Springfield, Delaware County. And then I got to pick up my kids and move again. They were not happy. But it was the best thing that ever happened to them because Washington, they were in school in D.C., in the Catholic school, private school system. And they grew enormously during that time. And I tell you, when you're the boss, you're the lead dog, get this one, folks. If you're not the lead dog, the scenery never changes. And then the other thing is, I never wanted to be the CEO of APHA. I never wanted to be dean. I never wanted to be a teacher. But you're going to get those opportunities, and you just do them to the greatest ability that you can. Roll up your sleeves, do everything you can, be the early guy in or gal in, and, you know, you'll get it done. And one of the things I want to emphasize is the critical thing is having the grit to grind it out, to push it out. There's someone in your family, a grandmother, a grandfather, somebody, okay, who was a grinder. And that's who you want to get close to because they'll teach you how you get up after getting knocked down. And if you're leading and if you're doing things, and if you're a pharmacist or a physical therapist or an occupational therapist, you got a license. And in this, wherever you are, let's just say Pennsylvania, that's, you got something that allows you to do something no one else in the Commonwealth can do except another pharmacist or another physical therapist or an occupational therapist. So take it seriously. Take your patients seriously. Show them that you care because you do care. And that was, those were sort of like the skill sets that I ran with. And then, you know, when I came back to PCPNS, we can talk a little bit about that.
So, yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't get a whole lot of learning from being a dean. I just wanted to get out of town. And I, it was a very emotional day to walk out of there. I recruited all those people. And, but people could see the, people could see the handwriting on the wall.
Yeah.
It was going to be different. And, you know, they all had great skills, great experiences and stuff like that. But, I can tell you the docs at Penn and Jeff were amazing to me. And gave me opportunities and lifted me up. It's great stuff.
And the incredible thing is that a lot of people would think that being the dean of a pharmacy school, well, the first pharmacy school in the country, is usually the pinnacle of people's careers, but you decided to take it to the next step. And like you said, become the vice president and CEO of APHA, which is another huge hurdle. How, again, being the dean and being a CEO of a company are probably two completely different things. And so how did you get your feet wet with that? And how did you become successful in being a CEO of APHA?
Well, that's a good question, Sean. I wanted that job. Because I felt here was an opportunity to change the profession. Now, dumb me, I had been through the chairs and presidency of ASHP and watched a terrific exec and a good friend, Joe Otis, run that organization. But they never took any risks, and I knew to change things, you were going to have to take risks. And then I realized I was running a business, and I didn't know a jack about running a business or anything. And we were, I guess, really in bad shape. So again, you know, just put your head down and, you know, people, I remember Ron Ziegler, he was big in the Nixon White House and he told me, you got to fire everybody and start over. Last year, I think we had 85 staff and 75 of them were new. What? And so this is what I was put on earth to do. And I felt in changing pharmacy. I mean, the guys from Smith Kline couldn't believe I was turning down a job. And when I told them that, they just looked at me and they said, okay, here's the deal. I said, what's the deal? I said, we'll always be in your corner. And they helped me out in so many ways, and taught me and backed me up and were always there with financial help and to do things. It was great. But I didn't see APHA as, I never thought I'd be APHA. I didn't have a list of things I wanted to accomplish, except have a great family and, you know, keep your faith, and, you know, do something with your degree in pharmacy. So arriving at APHA was not my destination. Some people, you said it really well, Sean, I mean, they're all hopped up because for the head of APHA. I looked around and I said, whoa, okay. I walked into the place that I knew a little bit about, and that was where our heater was and air conditioner. And I called my brother up and I said, man, this doesn't look good. He says, yeah, give me some information. He says, man, if you can keep that thing going for 6 years, and we kept it going for 20 years. But all I can tell you is what's before you is what is the job you get after. If you spend your life pining over a better job, you're wasting your time and you're wasting their time. And so just dig down and get it done and don't worry about getting noticed. They will notice you. They will know who you are. And, I don't know how many times I told Sean to be the first in and the last out because it's in those off peak hours where they ain't running around doing committee meetings that you'll find out what's really going on and whether or not you fit into the area of the pharmaceutical industry. Because you can't tell going in. So life's not a destination. It's a journey. And if you go at it really hard, I think you'll be rewarded and not necessarily with a better job, but you'll be rewarded knowing that you made a difference there. And it's the same thing with having a family or anything else that you do. Just do it to the best of your ability.
I think that's incredible. And, you know, I think that all of these life lessons are, you know, from your lived experience are incredible alone. But I'm sure that, you know, a guy as sharp as you obviously has some other resources or, you know, books or things that you've read or kind of taken in throughout your life that have also helped you. Could you share some of those resources that you know, if you're thinking about giving advice to a student or a young alumni, someone who's about to start their career, some of the resources that you would recommend to them?
Well, I think no matter where you come out of or the University of Sciences, you got to know yourself. And there's a couple of books that I think are really, really good. One is Strength Finders 2.0, and there may be a 3.0. And they have a little assessment in there, a quiz or whatever. You buy the book, you take the assessment. And then you read about the areas of your strengths, and of course, obviously, looking at your weaknesses. And what you've got to do is realize, don't worry about the weaknesses. You're too old now, okay, to be worried about weaknesses, okay? And a lot of people say, mom, dad, got to work on your weaknesses. I suck at math. No, you got to be good at it. I'm not going to be good at it. So whatever. Right. Whatever you're good at, that's your whole course. And that's what you play, and that's what you develop and embellish, and you go to courses, and you do things. And you take positions that are, that those strengths are going to carry, are going to help you be successful. The second book, I think, would be Emotional Intelligence. And their premise is that you get your IQ here, change it. It's locked and loaded. Okay. But you can change your emotional intelligence. Everything from, and there's a whole series, little quiz in there, identify your strengths, weaknesses. And work on those areas of strength so you make it better. And you do that through experiences. You take risks in your career. So I think those books, and then there's a book called Multiplier. I like Multipliers. I think you like it too, right, Sean? It's a good book. She talks about becoming a talent magnet. People that work with you get better. And it ain't mentoring. God, that's an overused word. I didn't have too much of that. I only had one person that ever really took an interest in my career. And that was Bill Foley. He was president for a short time. And I'll never forget. He came in my office. He said, I'm going out on a road thing and you're either the best thing since sliced bread or you're the worst thing. If you're the worst thing, I'm going to fire you when you get back. I said, well, I have a safe trip. So he takes off and he calls me after his first visit. He says, you are the best thing since sliced bread. And he introduced me to a lot of different people, and I got some experience with different people on different levels. And he was the only guy. The rest of them, you know, they didn't want anything more than that I developed people that work with me. you know, and boy, we really had some great people that were at APHA and have gone on. One person went on and she was the chief of staff of the FDA commissioner, Susan Winkler. And she's now head of the FDA Foundation, which is a private organization. Just people like that. And so you look for people, if you're going to be working for them, if working for, let's say, I don't know, Glaxo, the people that work for Glaxo, are they the ones that get the good jobs in industry? Do they have the good people? And so you look for people, and then you become a person who develops people, and people want to work for you. They want to come and work for you. They're willing to take less money, okay, because of how they get treated and the opportunities they get. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what Multipliers is all about. And, you know, there are three, you know, kind of stand up books. And mm-hmm. the emotional intelligence one was, you know, taking different experiences. And that's where a great company develops their talent. You know, they give them different opportunities. They move them to international areas. You know, and give them different experiences along the way and develop their profile. And so that when the top jobs come open, I think it's going to be real interesting. My son's at Penn and the president of Penn, they extended her term and all the people she's well liked and very successful. They stayed on. Now I got a problem. Because when she leaves, they're going to all retire. Mm. And they're not going to have institutional memory. And great companies want to have that institutional memory that'll keep them on the track. Mm-hmm. And occasionally, they get screwed up, things happen, and you got to bring in somebody from the outside. And that's a much tougher call. Mm. The more you know about somebody, the more you work with somebody, you either love them mm-hmm. or, you know, spending any time with. But that's what you do. And this thing about mentors, say another word on it, because people talk about that. I got to get a mentor. It's not the way it works. You show interest, you develop and you show people that you're willing to walk the extra mile. They'll want to work with you.
Yeah.
And that's where mentorship is a two-way street. Mm-hmm. And it starts with you showing what you're interested in and what you're willing to do. And then people will work with you and they will use that multiplier effect. They don't know what they're doing necessarily with those words, but that's what that book was all about. They're the three best. And of course, the classic is Who Moved My Cheese? Ability to move forward with your cheese. You like to be ahead of it. Mm-hmm. And your cheese will move.
Thank you, Dr. Gans. And again, I know we highlighted just a very few of your tremendous accolades, but one that I do want to give a little shout out about is your time back at the university teaching our pharmacy and leadership class and sharing those books, having us read those. Looking back, hindsight 2020, I think is probably the best decision I've ever made was taking that class, and can't recommend it enough to students and alumni to read those three books as well as Who Moved My Cheese. Mm-hmm. But can't thank you enough for jumping on here, Dr. Gans. And with that, I don't know if you've listened to any of our episodes before, but catching up to our last question and our most favorite question of your favorite U-Sciences memory. Either, again, you've had an incredible career at the University of Sciences, so as you're a student, or even as an alumnus, faculty, or even dean.
Well, something, I think my favorite memory is what it gave me. And there's three sort of pillars. One is the academics. That's the third. Okay. It's your classmates. That's another third. Learning from them. And then the environment. Okay. West Philadelphia is tame now. Okay. From when I was there. But when you're 250 pounds and 6'5", you know, you they don't come after you too much. but the point is that I think that's what I got out of PCP and the University of Sciences. And that's still there. It's an incredibly rich environment of healthcare and academics, 100 colleges and universities in the greater Delaware Valley area, and great industry, great jobs, and just great people that you're around that you can count on, and that the acquaintances and friends and stuff like that that you meet along the way, hopefully you'll carry quite a few of them on through through your life. You got wonderful tools. You know, you got the internet, email, and texting, and all of that good stuff. I think that's the trifecta for me of higher education. And we had a teacher. His name was Arthur Moore, and we dedicated our yearbook from him because his classes were exactly the same every year. And we had his notes. And the notes had his jokes in them. So you would start where he would get to the joke. But he taught us what it was to be a pharmacist. You know, and what you had to do, and just incredible. Incredible teacher, and the way he led his life. It was just great. It was just great. And so to me, that was the trifecta, those three things. And one great experience was working with Dan Hassar and Maven Myers and myself. We didn't know, we were rolling and doing things, but we didn't know how good we had it. And things did change under leadership. And that's when I learned that leadership does matter, and leaders are, and I read those books and I found them so useful for me, and I thought, geez, what a head start for the students. And it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun in that class and tried to, Dr. Zarish and I tried to show our experience and what we were able to do, all good stuff. And that's kind of I think that's the magic or the secret sauce to a university of the sciences education. It's the environment, it's the students, it's the teachers, and the really good ones. People like Bill Zink, great teacher, fortunately passed on, but just great, great teachers and, who care about their students. And believe me, that's just not the case in other places. So to me, that's my memories, and they're all kind of put together, and it's 50th reunion was kind of cool. It was really fun.
Cool.
Good stuff.
Well, Dr. Gans, we can't thank you again enough for taking the time to speak with us. All of your experience, all of your leadership, your advice, I guarantee that the folks who are listening, especially the young alumni, current students, are going to learn a lot from the things that you've shared. And we just want to thank you again for taking time to speak with us tonight.
Well, it was an honor, guys. Especially good to meet you, Garrett, and certainly Sean. Good to your cheese toast move, and I wish you guys well, and it was an honor to be here tonight.
Thank you so much again to Dr. Gans for taking the time to sit down and share just a few of the many life lessons he's learned over his remarkable career. I believe that everyone should live by the Gans family philosophy and learn how to have true grit, be the first one in and the last one out, and do whatever is put before you to the fullest.
Absolutely. And we also encourage everyone to read those four books that Dr. Gans has recommended. They're great tools that'll help strengthen your personal and professional development and ultimately help to also jumpstart your career. If you want to purchase one of those books, or better yet, all of them, which we would recommend, check out the description of this episode where we've provided the links.
Yeah. And speaking of resources to jumpstart your career, if you haven't done so already, sign up for USciences Nexus at nexus.usciences.edu. It's a new virtual platform just for USciences alumni to connect professionally and personally, and is an amazing resource for anyone looking to build new relationships, find mentors or jobs, or just stay connected to old friends and faculty.
And also be on the lookout for an upcoming email from the University Alumni Office for upcoming events, including another panel discussion highlighting Mishra College alumni on September 2nd.
Thanks again for listening. Talk soon.